Who is a Christian? You remember King Agrippa in the Bible, where he had a conversation with Apostle Paul? And Apostle Paul preached to him Christ. And King Agrippa says to Paul, "My gosh, you almost got me convinced. He almost persuaded me to be a Christian." And what is a Christian? Well, we all know, I guess, what it is, don't we? A follower of Christ, right? A Christian is a follower of Christ. We have people that come into the Dawn through our offices there, and they all claim they are Christians. Salespeople come in, and they say, "Well, I'm a Christian." Well, we don't question them. You know, what do you mean by being a Christian? And we had an individual just a week or so ago. And he came in and he says, "Is this a bookstore?" He came off the street. "Well, yes and no." So we showed him all the literature we have and so on. And so he says, "Well, I'm a Christian, but I'm a born-again Christian." Wow. So then I asked him, "Well, what do you mean by being born again?" Poor lad, couldn't explain it. "Well, I accepted Jesus, and so I'm born again." Okay. And so we had a nice little conversation, but I gave him a lot of literature that for him to ponder on. And I says, "Anytime you have any questions, be free to come back." So we're hoping that someday he'll come back. But it's interesting that these people say they're Christians. As we drove here to the convention this morning, we went past some of your big mega churches you have. One is called Northland, is it?
Yep.
All the cars parked there. And they all feel that they are Christians. But you know something? God loves them all. Because they have a desire of something that they need. And I'm sure they all are mindful of the fact that the Ten Commandments mean something to them. I think they follow that rule as close as they can. And we give them credit for it. Because the nominal churches we have today in the world, they do a lot of things that we don't realize in the background where they shield us. They take the brunt of a lot of criticism. We're not going to mention what some of the subjects are, but they do. We know Jerry Falwell took a lot of brunt of criticism. But can you imagine of us having somebody march in front of our halls or our meeting places? The churches take the brunt of it. But the Lord arranged it that way. We talk about America. We know it started off as a Christian nation. We know that the word of truth came out of here and spread throughout the world. My brother also. If you have a chance to look on the internet, you'll find that there are over 4,000 religions in the world. And they all claim they are Christians. Did you ever stop to think, what is the difference between knowing something about God and knowing God? It's a big difference. And who knows it? You. Because you're the true Christians. Christians know that. They know the difference between knowing God and who God is. It's the same with our Lord Jesus. What is the difference between knowing something about Jesus and really knowing Jesus? And we heard this over the platform these last couple of days. Who a true Christian is. To be a true Christian, there are conditions attached to it. Brother Ray Charlton brought out the fact of the high priest. As I look at you, you remind me of the high priest that you will be, Lord willing, the next age, to bring blessings to the world of mankind. The 4,000 religions, did you ever think, did they understand the philosophy of the ransom? It's a simple subject, isn't it? The ransom. Do they understand it? But you do. Why? Because you are a true Christian. You are a true follower of Christ. Is why you understand it. You have been granted the Holy Spirit to know these things. It didn't come by chance. And we're grateful to our pastor who has revealed this unto us many years ago and has been followed from generation to generation. I often think we talked about these brethren who served many years ago with Brother Russell. And we knew some of them. And they were very, very inspirational to us. And they brought us where we are today. I'm not going to give you names of different brethren, but you know them. They were faithful. They were faithful to the last about the covenant of sacrifice. Now, who is a Christian? Is a Christian born a Christian? No. There has to be a certain amount of growth to be a Christian. There has to be a certain amount of maturity to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ. As we sang that hymn, and Christ said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And you brethren have done that. You have done that. You have dedicated your life to be part of that body, to be part of that high priest. You might say to yourselves, well, what does it mean to deny yourselves? Well, we have to carry our own cross daily. It's been brought over the platform of all the different trials and difficulties that we would have. It's not easy. We are looked upon as nothing. You're just a funny group of people. You have some funny ideas. Really, we don't. It's the other way around. You know what's puzzling to me sometimes? How, let's say, you're being attacked because you said this and this and this, which you didn't. You didn't slander anybody, but you're accused of it. Think of our Heavenly Father, how His name is being slandered every moment, every day. You know how? From the pulpit. We look upon Him as a God of love. And what did He do in the different denominations? You're going to burn in hell. Your soul is going to burn throughout all eternity. That's blasphemy against God. Did you ever think of it? It's terrible what our Heavenly Father has to face each day. Blasphemy. A Christian must have growth of some kind. Brother George Patius brought that out in Timothy, where he talked about, study thyself, approved unto God, and rightly dividing the word of truth. And that is important, to rightly divide the word of truth. You know, as we look in our chart of the ages, I want you to think something seriously. How easy it is for you to understand it. You can see the ages in the past, you see the present age, and you see ages to come. As we drove by that Northland Church, how many of those people understand the past, the present, and the future? Do they understand what the presence of the Lord is? They have no idea. Who is a Christian? Think about it. And so, brethren, we're grateful for the message that was given unto us. No one can deny that the society that you and I live in is rapidly changing each day. Very fast. We wonder what's going to happen if the Lord grants us to live a few more years in the Middle East. What do you think might happen between Iraq and Iran? The Lord knows. He'll take care of it. If not Him, Israel will. But we see these things happening. And so, the second letter of Peter, and chapter 3 and verse 18 says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We as true Christians were to continue to grow in grace and in the accurate knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we should give thanks for that knowledge that you and I have. We studied it the other day, that this mystery has only been revealed to the initiated. It's a sacred secret only revealed to the initiated, and you are those initiated. So think about it. Who is a Christian? All those that go to all those different churches? Well, there might be some there. If you have someone that comes to your door, it could be JW, doesn't matter who, but ask them this question. Can I be a Christian and not go to your church? See what answer you would get. Can I be a Christian and not go to your church? Well, you know the answer. We know that the true child of God must first of all have a knowledge of his or her redemption, which was made possible through the precious blood of Jesus. The brethren talked about it this last couple of days. You know the redemption. The brethren brought out the fact that indeed in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And why is it you know it? You're a true Christian, is who you are. You're a true follower of Christ. And we're to seek and carry out, to the best of our ability, the divine will in our lives. We must show some development of the fruits of the Spirit. And that's true. It is so true. And that's our daily effort that we should do. We are to sometimes certain things that will make us more pleasing to our Heavenly Father. We must do that. Yeah, we're supposed to add to our faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, and so on, patience and godliness. That's true. And we try and do it every day. And we must. The wise apostle was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They understood fully the necessity of Christian growth in a changing world. 2 Peter 1:12. This was brought out the last couple of days. Yes. We're to be established in the present truth. We as true Christians understand the race for the prize that is still before us. The world doesn't know that. The 4,000 religions in the world do not know that. Yes, there is a race for the prize. It's before us. And we must be diligent, we are told, to continue fighting the good fight of faith, as we've been told. And we hope ever to be with our dear Lord in His kingdom. These precious truths mean so much to us, brethren, as true Christians. We which have learned to put these things into practice in our daily lives. Just one day we may hear those wonderful words. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. I'd like to turn to some of the scriptures there. What are some of the Christian maturity that we are to practice to help us each day? We heard some of these lessons the last couple of days. Ephesians 4, and we start with verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Apostle Paul here, he preached for approximately, I would say, 30 years when he wrote this. And he was in prison when this happened. And Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. A true Christian is being called. We are followers of Christ. And then Paul says, with all humility, verse 2, and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. That is difficult sometimes. And we are to diligently to preserve the unity of the Spirit, verse 3, the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. And you're going to ask a question, you're going to say, why? Because there is one body, verse 4, and one Spirit, just also as you were called in the one hope of your calling. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6, one God and Father of all, who over all and through all and in all. And we are to do this for how long? We drop down to verse 12 and 13. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. That's why we're here. We're here to build one another up. And the most holy faith has been brought out here. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the oneness of the faith. Verse 12, we'll go back, it says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. What's interesting is the word equipping, what it means. And I'll give you an illustration, some of you know about it. If you want to be a mountain climber, what do you do? We have to go someplace where they're going to train you to be a mountain climber. So they tell you, well, okay, you have to have proper gear. You have proper clothing, proper boots, and so on. And they train you. They give you instructions. And the instructions that they give you is that if your fellow member, a mountain climber, is run into problems, you're to know how to help that individual. Or if you yourself has run into problems, your fellow mountain climber will help you what to do. And that's what it is during this gospel age. We're to help one another grow and support one another if we have problems. And that's why Paul says, we're to do this, verse 12, down to verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, to that oneness. Yes. And then in verse 15, he says, but we're to speak the truth in love. We're to grow up in all aspects unto him, who is the head, even Christ. But you know what's nice about being a true Christian? You know who God is, and you have the ability, because of the Holy Spirit, to look into the mind of our Heavenly Father what His wonderful plan of the ages are. You have that ability to look into the mind of God. Because of your Son, Christ Jesus. As we drop down Ephesians 4, chapter 4, and you drop down to verse 23 and 24, and it tells us who these true Christians are. We're being renewed in the spirit of your mind. We're being renewed. Verse 24, we're put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in the righteousness and holiness of the truth. Yes, we're to speak the truth. Each one of us, to his neighbor, because we're members of one another. I liked some of the things that Brother Russell told us at the end of the age. At the present time, we're studying the second volume in New York class. But what's nice about that second volume is the fact that it was written ahead of its time. The things written there, we're going to be facing if we're still living. Yes, we know that there are things that didn't transpire. But some of the brethren missed the point that we are to wait upon the Lord. Don't run ahead of the Lord. Watch and pray. And that's what happened in 1914. Some of the brethren did not watch and pray. It's a lesson. We know the Gentile times ended. Very simple, isn't it? And it's true. It has. Today, the nation of Israel is its own governing body. They elect their own prime minister. No longer do Gentiles rule over them. That has been fulfilled. And that is true. One of the things that we're to learn as true Christians, which we're to develop, when it comes down to memorial season, when we study, our Lord told us we're to cleanse the leaven out of our hearts, right? Why is it so important to make us those special high priests that Ray Charlton talked about? That's why. He told us to love our enemies. Why? Oh, to crystallize our hearts, to prepare us for the next age, to be that high priest. And what was interesting is that in the first volume, about page 74 at the bottom of the page, which was interesting, and Brother Elsa says, one age has to end first before another age can begin. And we're looking forward to that age, for all the families of the earth will be blessed. Something else Apostle Paul brings to our attention in Ephesians chapter 4. And I'd like to read to you verse 29. It says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for the edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed in the day of redemption, or day of deliverance, excuse me. I like verse 31 and 32, because that applies to me. In order for me to be a true Christian, I must look at these two scriptures very closely. Here's what it says, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. That's not easy. Verse 32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. That's hard. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, is what Paul says. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. That is nice. Yes, our walk isn't easy. One brother gave a discourse not too long ago. Christ wept. So do we. So do we, brethren. We see our brethren going through health issues. We keep him in our prayers. It's difficult. Brother Wade Austin. Brother Michael Nakora. They need our prayers. It's not easy being a true Christian. No. Brethren, don't give up. Fight the good fight of faith. Once again, dear brethren, I'd like to close a special prayer on your behalf. Philippians, the first chapter. Verses 9 and 10. Philippians 1, verses 9 and 10. Then we'll read 27. And Paul says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ." That's my prayer on your behalf. In verse 27 of the same chapter, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit or one devotion, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And Paul always talked about the gospel, about Christ Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And brethren, as we dismiss our individual homes after this convention, remember who you are. You are those true Christians that are followers of Christ. And may the Lord add his blessing.